This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and welcome to the one talk show in America that helps you make better money moves. This is the Ray Lucia Show featuring Ray Lucia and Johnny Dean. Hey, John, how you doing, buddy?
I told you it's starring Ray Lucia. It is, you know, you got to get this star's attitude here.
I don't want to get the star's attitude.
Well, it's, you know, makes you look big. Yes, and featuring Johnny Dean, I'm here with you. You know, one day, maybe I'll host one day. One day if you're, you know.
Yeah,
I'll go out
of town or something.
Your car breaks down or you can't make it in.
Well, you did it for the last 4 or 5 years without me.
I thought I had to do it this morning because just about 60 seconds before the curtain went up, I heard you leave the studio.
I did, yeah.
To just take care of stuff.
It's all good, though. It's all good. Lynn Rowe will be down in just a few minutes.
Oh, that's right.
She's going to come by and see us. I've got some stuff to talk to her about. Lynn is one of our certified financial planners, and she's the one that brings you all this linked benefits stuff. I've got, you know, you were asking me, by the way, on this multiple income sources thing.
Yes.
And I'm going to talk to Lynn a little bit about that, too, because she's involved in the insurance side of the house, like Pastula and some of the others we have in the program. And there's some pretty interesting products out there today. MIGAs, for example, we've talked about before.
Multi-year guaranteed annuities.
Yeah, all that stuff. In either event, we'll have Lynn in just a bit, so make sure you stay with us. She's always Johnny on the spot.
She'll be in Johnny's spot, too.
That's exactly
here.
What
right.
I meant
at the bottom
say.
Of the hour. Right, okay.
I'm going to ask her about this, why you need a system to create a paycheck in retirement, more commonly known as mailbox money.
Mailbox money?
Yeah. You go to the mailbox, you got a check there waiting for you.
That's so old-fashioned anymore.
Well, what do you expect?
Do you even go to the mailbox anymore?
I mean, I do. I go almost every day.
You do?
Yeah, because I got one of these P.O. box things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But you're like me. You expect something useful to be there. I have a mailbox, but you know what it is? It's just a shredder. The mail gets deposited, and then on the bottom, it's just shredded.
No, I go because my wife does all of her shopping now online. Except groceries.
Okay,
she sends
you're getting
me to do the grocery stuff.
You're getting the
I got
to
get packages. Yeah. Packages.
Oh, great.
She doesn't have them delivered to the door because she doesn't trust the people next door. Don't tell
the
people.
So mailbox money is what we're talking about
here.
Yeah,
with Lynn. I want to talk
all right,
to her about
okay.
that. Plus, and I know you're going to ask me about some email you got.
Well, I had an email. I don't know if we're going to have time because Lynn will be coming in. But if it's not this hour, we'll do it next hour with the TV folks. And it had to do with these whole multiple sources of income. The email I got was asking about what do you mean,
well, we
first
talked
of all,
about this the other day.
Yeah, they wanted us to go over it again.
Well, just very, very quickly, and I don't know if we can get to all of it this hour. But when I talk about multiple sources of income, it's not really rocket science. It's basically when you approach retirement, where are you going to get your check from? All right, you're going to get it from Social Security if you're lucky enough to have a pension, yeah. But now you've got a portfolio. Typically, you've got IRAs and so forth. It's not just the multiple sources of income. It's the multiple sources of taxation on said income. Because remember, you've got a partner in all of this stuff. That's Uncle Sam. And to the extent that you're in a reasonably high bracket, and those of us that live in California know exactly what I'm talking about, because 22%, which most people will be in, is one thing. But when you add another 7, 8, 9 points to the state income tax,
right.
You're getting up there over 30%. And that's almost a third of every dollar you bring in over a certain threshold. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and it doesn't do any good for anything. So anyway, but you got to plan for it because that's what you have.
So
that's what we're stuck with.
I would pose the question to everybody that's watching and or listening on the program today, and that is, what are your multiple sources of income? And equally as important, what are they on a net after tax basis? This is why I've talked about the different silos of money and how it's really nice to have pre-tax money in places like your IRA or your 401k plan, knowing that money comes out taxable. But because now we've got a pretty good threshold for retirees, you've got like almost $27,000 for a married couple over the age of 65 threshold that you can earn paying zero tax, right?
Yes.
And then you've got what, 78 or 79,000 in the 12% tax bracket, right?
That's once you get past that 20.
Once you get past the 27.
And it's 24 or something for everybody
else.
Well,
over 65.
Married, we're talking about. But over 65, you get a little bump.
It was 26.6 last year. It's a little bit more than that.
I think it's more than that. Yeah. I don't have the tables.
But so important about that is the next phase, which is when you've got other gains, such as capital gains. And then if you have Roth IRAs, you now have tax-free money. And then when you have Social Security, that money could be tax-free, or at least not subject to all of it being taxed. So yeah, the key is not only to have multiple sources of income, but the taxation of those multiple sources of income. And then you also have to know the rules,
right?
Because one might say, well, Roth IRAs are great, but I got a nice muni bond portfolio and I get tax-free income. Well, that is true. Your income may be federal tax-free, may not be state, but it may be state tax-free too. It may be local tax-free, but it may not be Social Security tax-free.
That's something that everybody tends to forget. Well, most people. They don't think about that. They don't think about doing, you know, we've had questions about Roth conversions, right?
Yep.
Roth conversions. Hey, I got room in the bracket. Maybe I should do it. Maybe you should. It may be a good thing to look at. But what you also have to consider in this equation is, are you taking your Social Security? And if so, how might your Social Security taxation be affected? Maybe you think, hey, I've never been taxed on my Social Security in my life. I don't even think there is a taxation on Social Security because I've been taking it since I was 62. I'm 75. Not once have I ever paid taxes on my Social Security. But I've got this, you know, $200,000 sitting in my, you know, or whatever, and I'm going to convert some of it out of my IRA. I want it to grow tax-free in a Roth. Boom, you do it, and you say, hey, everything's fine. I'm staying in the tax bracket, and you get a tax bill.
There's another one for the wealthier people that's kind of interesting, and that is on the Medicare hit.
Yeah, that's the other one.
But it doesn't hit you for 2 years. Doesn't happen instantaneously.
No.
And so you wake up one day and say, what? I've had people call me, and they say, what in the heck happened? And you go back in your research and say, well, do you see this big gain you had 2 years ago when you sold your company? Or do you see this big gain when you did this Roth conversion? Because all of a sudden their Medicare premium goes from $135 a month to $420.
People have done that where they maybe sold a house, you know, and had a nice capital gain, or a rental house.
Exactly.
And they had a nice capital gain, and then they look, oh yeah, I don't know anything. 2 years later, and the reason it's 2 years later is because they don't. Once your tax return has to go through the cycle.
Sure.
And so by the time they find out about it, you're going to get tagged with the tax bill usually 2 years later. And you forget. You don't know what you did.
It can be a very, very surprising tax bill. So this is why when we talk about the multiple sources of income, we must also talk about the multiple ways that income can be taxed. The other thing is, and we discussed this the other day, when you have annuities, for example, in your portfolio, one of the big rubs is, well, when you take your earnings out, they're all taxed as ordinary income. That is true. But you can construct an annuitization plan and reduce the tax burden because there will be an element of principal that you take out and earnings. So for those that are taking a systematic withdrawal, 100% of your earnings comes out first. It's taxable as ordinary income. But you could say, well, pay me over 5 or 7 years, and there'll be a pro rata amount of taxable income. Take the interest, divide it by 7, essentially, and the balance would be principal. And then you'd find that the amount of interest that you're paying is very, very low, maybe with the other tax-free sources of income like Roths and capital gains and dividends that could also be tax-free. That interest becomes a non-issue. And it, too, is either tax-free or taxed at a very, very nominal rate.
How's anybody going to know this without help? I mean, seriously.
Well, you know, we have a show every day, a couple, three hours.
Sort of what I was leading to.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of what I was leading to. But, you know, you listen to the show and you find this stuff out, and some of it seems really complicated. But this is one of the this is one of the reasons that I would suggest you talk to somebody. I mean, you know, it seems easy enough. You hear all this. Do a Roth conversion. Okay, that seems simple, but it can lead to all these other things that we were talking about tax-wise that you hadn't planned on. There are solutions to them oftentimes, but I think it takes a professional to show you exactly what those solutions are.
Well, and sometimes older folk get hung up on the Roth conversion.
They do.
And they look at their income tax bracket and they say, well, I don't mind paying 24% or whatever.
Right.
We talked about this yesterday.
Yes.
When
somebody took it
when
up.
You're, if you've got five benefit, I've got five grandkids, right? And if those grandkids would be my ultimate beneficiary, the question is, what's the average bracket spread across all five of them?
Yeah.
And your kids may be in a much lower tax bracket. So sometimes it's better for them to inherit the tax bill than for you to pay it while you're alive in a higher tax bracket.
There's so much to talk about. We can't fit it all in.
But we've got another 45 minutes or so to do it. So stick around, folks. It's the Ray Program.
Oh, download the Biz Talk Radio app. Available on iOS, Android, and BlackBerry. Biz Talk Radio.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information. That's why Lynn Rowe is on the air with me right now. Lynn Rowe, Certified Financial Planner. Lynn, what up?
It's Friday.
It sure is, and you're looking very dapper in that blue suit today.
Aw, shucks.
Yeah, really good. Right. Hey, I was just talking to Johnny Dean. I don't know if you heard it, but we've been talking about multiple streams of income, and I know he's going to want to talk about it again and again and again because it's a topic front and center with a lot of our emailers. But I brought up mailbox money. He didn't know what I was talking about. Mailbox. I guess people don't have, it's all direct deposit money now, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
We were also discussing the tax treatment on all of the different types of mailbox money that you could get. For example, real estate, you get to take depreciation. So any income, I shouldn't say any, but some, if not all, of the income would be offset by your depreciation allowance. So that's a pretty good way to get some
that's
income.
That's helpful. Yeah.
Certainly, if you have a pension plan at work and Social Security, the delay of Social Security is really good mailbox money because the delay is worth what? Somewhere between 35 and 75% more income, depending
longer
on when
you
take it.
The longer you can put that off, the better, yeah.
But you happen to be in the retirement paycheck business. You
personal
want to make sure.
Pension.
Yeah, personal pension. That's what I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain what a personal pension is?
Sure. What we do is we set up an account with an insurance company that says they guarantee that income to you on a regular basis for the rest of your life. And you can set it up for the rest of your partner's life as well. So it's not just you if you are, in fact, betrothed. On the other hand, if it's just you, then you set it up for the rest of your life. You can actually have some come back to family members as a lump sum. So it's all in the way you set it up at the time you start receiving that income. But what we do ahead of time is we set up an account where there's an income base, and that income base will get a bonus each year regardless of what the market does, because these are generally tied to an index. And if the market doesn't do so hot, well, you still get a step up on your income base. And ultimately, after, say, you know, 8-10 years, whatever, then when you start receiving that income, it could be far greater than you could have gotten had you invested it in that directly in that index.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you look at the index performance for the past 10-15 years, if you take into account, for example, going all the way back to the 2000 through 2002 crash, where you had three down years in a row, and then in 2007 to 2009, you had the massive 57% decline.
Mm-hmm.
All of that gets wiped clean,
mm-hmm.
and as you said, you might even still get an increase because some of these companies will, I mean, they don't increase your actual cash value,
the
income
base.
But they increase your mailbox money.
Yes.
So because
well
the
said.
Way the way it works is you get to get a check based on either one of the two accounts, an income base account, which could be higher or lower than the actual cash.
Could be.
Based on the returns that you may have received, right?
Could be lower. Generally speaking, all the situations I've seen, generally speaking, it's been higher.
Well, yeah, it's been higher because clearly you have had a pretty robust market.
Now, I'm talking about the income base with the step-ups has actually generated a higher amount from which to take that income.
So the step-ups, explain what a step-up is.
Sure. Then. That's where the insurance company says, well, since you've left the money with us over this past year, next year we're going to add to your income base 6%. And when you start compounding that out, those down years over on the annuity side, or on the, I should say, the index side, could have hurt you. And you could actually end up, as Ray said, with a higher income base, and that's the base from which they pay that
and
income.
That's the base from which they, with a capital G, guarantee an income.
Or
and
the,
some of them I've seen guarantee an ever-increasing income.
Yes. Yes.
So even once you start taking it, say you're getting $1,000 a month, mm-hmm. if that income base still has money in it, mm-hmm. you would get another, you know, I've seen as much as 1.5 times whatever the index does.
Right.
And
right.
the index, by the way, could be the S&P 500. It could be a percentage of the S&P 500. It could be a dynamic index. This is where you need to sit down with somebody like Lynn, because that's where the complexities are.
Sure. Absolutely. Do the planning.
And you make it simple. That's what I love about
do
what you
my
do.
Best.
It's hard, though. It's hard because yeah. some of the products, I think some of the insurance companies purposely do that to confuse people, but that's just me. I'm a cynic.
Mm-hmm.
But and you and I have talked about this many times before. Simpler sometimes is much better.
Well, simpler helps people to make correct decisions. A lot of times when you start telling them all the gears in the watch, they've lost track of the fact that they're trying to find out what time it is.
Now, I had a discussion with somebody last night about this. This is an article that I read a couple of weeks ago, and I have been meaning to talk to somebody about it. So you're in the seat next to me, so I'm going to talk to you about it.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Got it.
Why a broker might be a conservative investor's best option. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about broker versus fiduciary advisor,
mm-hmm.
a person that sells a product versus an individual that theoretically puts the best interests of their client first.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't a broker do both of those? Can you explain?
Doesn't
it come down to integrity?
I would have a hard time explaining why they can't. I would tell you that, yes, they can, and you're absolutely right. It gets back to the integrity of the broker, and which is a good reason to you know, do your homework and check out the broker.
Let me give you an example, and again, I'm not going to read this article, but I can remember a little bit about what it had to say, but then my anecdotal opinions of what goes on in mm-hmm. the world of brokerage. So the guy that wrote this, Ben Carlson, was talking about how many times individuals want some safe money in their portfolio.
Right.
So they could go to the money manager, the fiduciary advisor, charges them a fee, full disclosure and all that stuff, and
mm-hmm.
I make no bones, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put them in a bond allocation because they want safe money in a bond allocation and charge a 1% fee, and that's
mm-hmm.
that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they ask them to broker some CDs for them, and they charge them some commission
mm-hmm.
or some fee to manage the portfolio.
Right.
They could go to a broker such as yourself,
mm-hmm.
what we call a hybrid
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. in the business, and you could do the same thing for them and charge them nothing.
Right.
And people ask, well, she's got to be making money somehow. Well, if you did a string of MIGAs
mm-hmm.
as opposed to CDs, and as we've talked, the multi-year guaranteed annuity contracts typically beat a certificate of deposit.
Generally speaking.
Now, they don't have the same FDIC insurance and all that stuff, but they're still double A rated, single A rated, very, very safe.
Yep.
And in many instances, backed by a state guarantee fund.
Mm-hmm.
So the safety thing is not a good argument.
Right.
A good argument is the rate of return that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're getting overpaid, is it coming out of my pocket?
No. No. Not in the case of, in other words, if the insurance companies have built into the pricing of their product the payment to that broker, that's coming from their calculations. And all you have to do is do the comparison on the yields to see what's better for you.
Okay, we'll take a quick break on that note. Come back. I've got more questions for you. Thank you. If you
Great.
Can stick around, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay.
And if you'd like to call, 844-RAY-SHOW is the number. Remember Lynn's website, iwantmyltc.net. Shoot her an email right now. We'll be back.
Women in the Army have come along.
Send us your feedback by emailing info@biztalkradio.com, or you can send us comments via the Biz Talk Radio app.
Welcome back. This is the Lynn Lucia Show, helping you to make better money moves. Rocking and rolling with Lynn Rowe, certified financial planner. I want my LTC.net. That's the website, 877-270-3127. All right, so just for the fun of it, I was looking at the difference between a MIGA rate, which I know you handle, versus certificates of deposit at an internet bank where you can get pretty good rates. And just a very quick look during the break. The five-year CD rate, the best one I could find anyway, was 3.1%. I won't tell you what bank it is because I'm not, you know, unless they want to pay for advertising, forget about it.
Yeah.
five-year MIGA, 4%. So here's what the general population thinks, and I want you to clarify this. Okay, that 4%, there's got to be a catch, and that Lynn Rowe's making some pretty good money by selling me this MIGA. Well, you and I both know that you don't get paid squat on MIGAs, but you do get paid something.
Yeah.
Where does that come from if they can offer 4% when a CD only offers 3?
That's what those guys with the green eye shades in the back room get paid to do, is to calculate it. That's, those are called actuaries. And what they do is figure out all the parameters, and they build into the pricing of the product, i.e. that 4% for the 5 years, they build into that the ability for them to pay someone to bring the business to them. So they're doing that on a mass basis, and that mass basis enables them to pay the broker to bring business to them. Banks don't have that kind of leeway.
You know, brokers at brokerage firms do get paid as well to bring you a CD.
Sure.
A brokered CD.
Sure.
It's not much, and the MIGAs aren't that much.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about actuaries and pricing. And I think that's a really good point, because the pricing situation is such that somebody is figuring out what the company's profit margins need
to be. Absolutely.
And they've got usually a portfolio rate.
Right.
And because insurance companies have the ability to wait out the storm, they can price that in. Mm-hmm. They don't have to price the liquidity. There's obviously a substantial penalty for early withdrawal on both a CD and a MIGA. And if you get out early and you get less than the promised rate of return, that benefits the people that stay in.
Right. Right.
So it's not a scam. It's just the way life works. If you can make the commitment. Now, here's what's really interesting. You could buy a three-year MIGA and get literally the same rate of return as you get in a five-year CD. So anybody that thought interest rates were going to go up over the next 2 or 3 years and was going to buy a five-year CD shouldn't do that. They should buy a three-year MIGA.
Right. In other words, your time commitment is shorter, but you're getting the same rate of return that you're getting in that bank for 5 years.
Absolutely right. Okay, yeah. Now I want to move on to the next topic. And you had brought something up during the break. Do you want to elaborate on that?
You know, I do, Ray, because Luke Perry was recently in the news as a result of his fatal stroke.
Well, his estate was in the news.
Okay.
Right?
Well,
Luke, he
was in the news.
He was in the news, but it wasn't him personally.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, because of his stroke at a very young age, you know, a lot of information has come out about strokes and what's happening in our country. And they're estimating now that there's been a 44% rise in the number of young adults hospitalized due to stroke in the past decade. That's huge.
That is huge. And, why, though? Why do you suppose that?
Well, you know, it's so hard.
Could it be diet? Could it be stress?
Yeah,
Could it be drugs?
All of the above.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, even in young athletes, we've seen it happening. But another myth, if you will, that comes out as a result of all this is that it's a man's disease. Ladies, listen up. 55,000 more women have a stroke compared to men each year. So, I mean, we're in deep doo-doo here. And I want to bring to attention the fact that there are critical care plans, both in life insurance and standalone critical care plans, that inject capital into your budget at the time something like this occurs so that you can pay those additional bills, if you will. You can make the house payment. You can pay for all of the additional care that you might need over and above what your health insurance would pay. But nonetheless, it puts capital in your pocket. And it's something that everybody needs to be thinking about. Some states offer it. Sadly, there's a few handful of states that don't. But the ones that do, if you don't have it, you need to call me.
I had a conversation yesterday, as a matter of fact, with one of our listeners, a very, very fine young man in Florida, as I recall. We'll mm-hmm. call him Mark, because I think that's it is his name, by the way. And what we were talking about is this personal pension. I was visiting with him with a fellow that you know, Tim, right down the hall here.
Okay.
And anyway, Tim was explaining to him, and you have to clarify this for me, in his personal pension plan, insured pension plan, because mm-hmm. it was an insurance policy, it had all of these different riders
right.
at no cost.
Right.
They don't even, the insurance company doesn't charge for if you have some kind of a chronic illness or a critical thing like a stroke or whatever. So they write you a check from the death benefit tax-free?
Yeah. Yep. What they're doing is they're accelerating the death benefit to you. So this is what we call living benefits as opposed to just death benefits. And Ray, I write these types of life insurance policies for people all day long because, frankly, if you're going to be buying term insurance for the next 30 years, why wouldn't you want it to come back to you with some cash if you have a critical illness? Why wouldn't
you? I saw where you get for a heart attack, you get X amount, mm-hmm. and for cancer, you get Y amount, and all that stuff. So if it's like a life-threatening, you're going to die in the next couple of years, they give you the bulk of the death benefit mm-hmm. in advance. Mm-hmm. But even if you have a heart attack, they would give you a percentage of it.
An organ transplant. I mean, some of them pay if you have an organ transplant. And this is on diagnosis, Ray. This isn't on treatment. They're not saying, well, gee, what's your treatment costing and blah, blah, blah. They're saying diagnosis. You were diagnosed with that heart attack. You were diagnosed with that cancer. You were diagnosed with that stroke. Therefore, based on your age and the condition, then they're going to pay you either an income or a lump sum.
Lynn Rowe, certified financial planner, where when you talk to her, she'll say blah, blah, and or answer all of your questions. So give her a buzz at 877-270-3127. My pal for a long, long, long time here on this program. I want my LTC.net. Now, I also saw something across my email.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give you the name of the company.
Got it.
But I saw where in 2019, this company that was one of the preeminent firms in linked benefits plans
right.
for long-term care
right.
and so forth is strengthening their position. They came out with new pricing, catapulting them to the number one carrier. How can they reduce their pricing when everybody else is increasing their pricing?
Because they're doing a good job of managing risk. They're doing a good job of writing a lot of business so that they can reflect that in their pricing.
Let me tell you what they sent, because I get emails from them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Females and males with the couple's discount, you'll have to explain what that is.
Mm-hmm.
The single premium price is decreasing 3% on average with a range of -1% to -12%, thus increasing their competitive position.
Exactly. Well, you know, Ray, again, this is a company, and I think I know which one it is, but I've worked with them for almost 30 years, and I have seen them in action. And these people handle claims with just exquisite care. And they have continually priced that product in a very competitive manner. So it doesn't surprise me that they are now looking at the big picture and saying, you know what, we can do better.
Well, since you and I have been talking about increases in
mm-hmm.
costs over the last couple of years
right.
for long-term care, these are the hybrid policies.
That's right.
And they are boasting now the number one position. Again, I can't I haven't verified that
mm-hmm.
or anything like that, but they're putting it on a piece of paper that they sent me or an email that they sent
Got
me.
Got it.
So at a time when everybody seems to be raising their rates, these guys are lowering their rates. That's pretty impressive, at least
That's
to me.
That's very impressive. And the linked benefit, I can't say enough about what a great product this is, because I hear this from people all the time. What if I don't ever use it? Well, with the linked benefit, if you never use it, it's going to come back to your family. So why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want them to have that?
So the linked benefit, just for clarification, is one of these cash value type insurance policies, life insurance policies, right?
It links two benefits together. That's why they call it linked benefit. It's linking long-term care with a life benefit so that the life benefit pays your heirs if you don't use it or if you use a small amount of it. And the long-term care pays you in the event that you need the care. And here's the other thing, Ray. I had a case in particular where she needed cash, and she didn't quite qualify for the benefits for long-term care. So what we did was we borrowed out the cash. When she passed, they paid the death claim, but in the meantime, she then qualified.
Yeah, so the cash value, and we've got to go. I'm sorry. We don't have more time to spend on this. But the cash value is in the account. And
yes.
Day one, you can get to
some
of it, if not most of it.
Yeah.
And over a 3 or 4 year period, you can get to all of it. Lynn Rowe. I want my LTC.net, 877-270-3127. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
Have a great day. We'll be back, folks. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of
The Bullish Market. Keep listening to Biz Talk Radio.
Online at biztalkradio.com.
Oh, man. Hey, welcome back, folks. It is the Ray Lucia Show. Johnny Dean, on the set with me, buddy.
Yeah, and thanks to Lynn for taking my place. I just went back while Lynn Rowe was on. I was grabbing some emails off of the wire, we'll get to a couple of them next hour. I have to sort of sort these, and we'll also be talking about income and all that.
Didn't you have one from Larry?
Well, we had one from Larry, and I'm not making fun of Larry, but
you're not?
Not really. I don't make fun of email. That's not it.
No,
it just
no,
gave
no.
me a little bit of a laugh.
Everybody's question is a good question.
It gave me a little bit
but
of a laugh.
But you came in and said, I got this email
right.
from Larry.
Right. So what we were talking about yesterday, or we talk about it all the time, but it had to do with income, and it had to do with the fact that as you get older, you tend to spend less in retirement. Like, you're not going to spend at age 90 what you spend at age 65.
Yeah, that's
65.
Just a proven fact.
Right. It's just
based on the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Well, and it's not just that. I mean, you can tell.
Common
how many
sense.
90-year-olds are going to spend 155 grand a year. Anyway, okay. So Larry's email, I can't – let me just gist it for you. Had to do with the fact he says, I retired at age 62. I'm now 64. I've been spending more now than I did when I was age 62. So how can you say that retirees spend less the older they get?
Yeah, okay. So what we were laughing about is I said to John, tell him to call me back in 10 years.
10 years.
And let me know how he's doing. If you recall, our discussion centered around, and I forget the guy that came up with this, but it's certainly, you know, nothing that's all that magical. He talked about the go-go years, the slow-go
years,
and
the
no-go years, right?
Yes.
So he's still in the go-go year period. We know that people that retire, especially those that retire early at, say, 62, tend to do all the stuff they want to do, like travel and et cetera,
right,
early in retirement. And that's for a number of different reasons. First, they probably haven't figured out whether or not they're going to run out of money yet. And second, they want to make sure that while they're still young and vibrant and healthy, they can take their spouse on a trip to Europe or take the trip down the Danube or whatever it is that they
have always wanted to do.
And of course, that's the time to do it. So they find that they do spend a little more money early in retirement. That's going to change for you, Larry, over the next couple of years. The thing that I talk about is this whole concept of inflation. And I put it in the context, if I can find my calculator somewhere, I'll get my phone. But the thing that I find interesting is that when you apply a standard inflation rate to a retirement income, say the guy's retiring on $75,000 a year, if you inflate that at 3% over the next 25 years when Larry's 87, he's supposed to be spending $157,000 a year.
Well,
and that's when you go into these online calculators and all that stuff, that's what they do. And it's just giving you a false, I mean, what it does is it depresses people.
Of
and
course
it keeps
it
them
does.
From saving money, and they think they keep working until they're 89. I mean, it's just nuts because you're not going to be spending $157,000 even if there is 3% inflation. Because you will change your behavior, number one. And number two, as you age, your spending will go down more then the cost of health care goes up, because that's what they're always quoting. Health care costs go up.
Yeah.
And obviously you can buy long-term care insurance and all that to mitigate some of that cost. But even if you don't, the rate of decline in spending is more rapid than the rate of increase in inflation.
Yeah, what scares people is that they say, okay, you need 90,000 now, but 25 years from now you need 180,000 or whatever it is. And so in order to achieve that, you're going to need to have twice as much saved up as you have right now. And you look at it and you say, I'm only going to work 10 more years. How in the world am I going to do that?
Right.
I give up. I'm never going to be able to retire. And it just, it hurts.
I think, and I think Michael Kitsis wrote about this a few years ago. He said, if you're going to do those kinds of calculations, you should do them such that you modify what you use for your rates of return mm-hmm. and what you use for inflation. I've always said, you know what, if you're going to use a 3% inflation rate, then use it for the first, say, 10 years if you want. I still think that's way aggressive. The Fed target for inflation is 2%. Why would you use 3?
They can't even reach that.
So let's say you use 2%, okay? So that's the Federal Reserve's target for inflation. So the first 10 years, you put into that calculation 2% inflation rate. The next 10 years, maybe you put in 1%, or I would put in 0%. But let's say you put in 1%, and the next 10 years, you put in 0%. And you run the math on that. It will not be $157,000. I could probably do it real quick. So if you had $75,000 at 2% inflation over 10 years, then 10 years later, you need $91,000. $91,000 at 1% over the next 10 years. Now you need $100,000. And then over the next 10 years, you still need $100,000. So do you know what the difference is between $157,000
per year
of income and $100,000 in terms of how much money you need to save? And that, ladies and gents, is the point of why it's Bolshevik to even think that you're going to be spending at that rate in retirement. Yet every single calculation, even the academic studies.
I know.
They go into this compounding effect. The 4% rule, it's based on 30 years inflation-adjusted income.
Yeah.
So if you need 50 grand or you need 75 grand, they're calculating that in 30 years, you'll need 180,000.
Whatever the number is.
And that is just simply not the case. In fact, if you go back to the David Blanchett study, remember the retirement smile?
Yes.
If you go back to the retirement smile and you looked at it graphically, think about a line straight across. That's horizontal, right?
Yes.
A horizontal line across a chart. And then think about a smile. And the smile at the very tippy top at the end where your life expectancy is over doesn't even get back to the horizontal line. That's the real spending based on the retirement smile. And everybody's going to be a little bit different, but by and large, most people could probably take a 6% distribution and leave it flat, never increase it, and still be okay.
You know, you're going to catch a lot of flack for saying
that. Oh, I already have.
I can almost
guarantee
you.
In more ways than I would like to discuss on the air.
I know, and I can almost guarantee you, before the end of next hour, I'm going to hear from somebody.
Probably an advisor.
Or maybe by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I'm right, they're wrong.
I know.
Sorry.
I know.
And I've got the proof. I've got all kinds of academic research on that. But we're out of time, so I'll have to take this up in a different hour. Thank you, Johnny Dean. And thank you all for tuning in to the Ray Lucia Show. Send me an email if you want, raylucia.com. Click on the Ask Ray button. Now go out and make it a very blessed day.
You're listening to the Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions
online. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home.